welcome. It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of westerns. Later on, it's Raymond Burr, as star in Fort Laramie. But first, Have Gun Will Travel, with a CBS broadcast called The Outlaw, from December 14th, 1958.
Mister, you killed 9 men. I never heard anyone say you made allowances for your opponent's ability with a gun.
Have Gun Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Good morning, Mr. Paladin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, Mr. Davis. I'm going to be at the Pacific Union Club. I was wondering if there's any mail for me.
Clerk, a room, please.
Do you have a reservation?
No reservation. This trip came up suddenly.
You have references?
I'm Ned Alcorn, president of the Citibank in Placerville. Here are my credentials.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Alcorn. If you'll sign here. Excuse me, Mr. Paladin.
Wait a minute, clerk.
Yes, sir?
I want you to take a good look at this picture.
Manfred Holt, wanted dead or alive, $2,000 reward.
This man might show up here.
A desperado here in San Francisco?
May I see that, please?
Oh, I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry. My name is Paladin, Mr. Alcorn. I couldn't help overhearing.
Oh.
This Manfred Holt, wasn't he to be hanged last week in Placerville?
Why, yes. He broke out of jail 3 days ago. Killed 2 deputies.
You think he's coming here?
I think so, yes. He's killed 9 men, and he'll come after me sooner or later.
Why?
Well, I was the chief witness against him at the trial.
Oh, I see.
His wife's living in a cabin up in Grass Valley. She had a son born while the trial was on. Holt swore in court that he'd see the infant and then come after me.
Well, it'd probably be better for you if Holt was stopped in Grass Valley, wouldn't it?
Of course. As it is, there's a sheriff and a couple of deputies chasing him up there for all the good it'll do. This makes the 4th time Holt's got away from Sheriff Ludlow. Oh, that sheriff's not too smart.
I'm no bounty hunter, Mr. Alcorn. However, I am available for a fee.
To do what?
Here. My card.
Have Gun Will Travel.
There's nothing funny about loneliness. Yet one of America's funniest guys, a man who lives by laughs, is haunted by loneliness. His name... Jerry Lewis. Don't miss the latest issue of Look magazine, the issue with Jerry and Patty on the cover, at your newsstands now. Get Look today.
It was a long ride from San Francisco to Grass Valley, and I had a lot of time to think about this outlaw, this Manfred Holt, who had killed 9 men. 9 men lying dead somewhere because of him. And his wife had just borne him a child. A strange sort of cycle. Near noon of the second day, I rode out into a wide meadow and suddenly pulled up short. 3 men were spread out along the side of a knoll, their rifles ready. They were working towards a thicket in the middle of the clearing. I dismounted and walked forward.
Give it up, Holt. You don't have a chance. That blamed ornery fool.
Hey, Sheriff! Look behind you!
What? What are you doing here, mister?
I want to talk to you, Sheriff. I'm coming in.
Where'd you come from?
San Francisco. Are you Jake Ludlow?
Maybe I am.
That's Manfred Holt you've got boxed up over there.
What do you know about all this?
A man named Alcorn wants me to see that Holt has returned to Placerville. I was on my way to his wife's cabin.
So was Holt when we caught up to him.
Is Holt alone?
Yeah, just him. He's got a saddle horse and a pack horse.
Then you don't need any help.
Not unless you want to save us some time and start digging his grave.
He might surrender.
You think I'd chance 2 days on the trail back to Placerville with Holt?
He's already killed two of my deputies.
He was tried and found guilty. They're going to hang him, aren't they?
Hang later or shot now. What's the difference?
Well, the difference between justice and
hey,
murder.
Sheriff! He's coming out. I can see his horse.
It's a pack horse. Stop him, Abe. Bring him down. That's fine shooting, just fine. You missed him.
It was too late. He was flying.
You crazy-eyed fool.
What are we going to do, Sheriff?
Start closing in. I'll come in from this side.
You think he's still in there?
Better put that fancy gun in your hand. You might need it.
Perhaps he was under the canvas on that pack horse.
Who are you, mister?
Name's Paladin.
All right, Paladin. Keep your eyes open.
Sheriff, he's gone. Ain't nobody in these trees. Looks like he got away from us again.
And what did you do to stop him?
Oh, I...
There are his shells. He was firing from here. And he crossed over to here, where his horses were, and he climbed on one, the pack horse.
He was under the canvas. That slippery, murdering devil. Gage, you follow his trail. Me and Abel hit straight for his cabin. One way or other, we'll find him.
His saddle horse is over there. You want him?
No, he just slows up. Leave him be.
Sheriff, I'll meet you at the cabin.
Look, Paladin. You cross Holt's trail, just get out of the way. There's 11 men I know of tried to beat him on the draw. They're all wearing marble slab hats now.
The sheriff and his partner, Abe, headed out for Holt's cabin while the other deputy, Gage, followed the trail of the pack horse. When they were well on their way, I moved over towards the biggest cottonwood in the thicket. You can come down out of that tree now, Holt. There's no point in trying to shoot. You make too good a target against the sky.
All right, I'm coming down.
Why do you throw your gun down first?
Here it is.
All right, come on down.
How'd you know I was still here?
You rode the pack horse under the tree and swung up a branch without touching the ground. How'd you get the horse to keep running? Slip a burr under the pack saddle?
Sharp rock. Hate to do it to old Jenny, but she'll keep going till she shakes that rock loose. You knew all the time, huh? What's your name?
Paladin.
Why didn't you tell Ludlow?
He would have killed you.
And you, what you gonna do?
I'm taking you back to Placerville.
To be hung at a county fair while they hawk buttons off of my shirt as souvenirs?
Let's go.
Man ought to be let die like a man at the hands of a man. What are you messing in this for anyway, the reward?
Alcorn hired me to see that you don't reach him.
Alcorn? Hired your gun out of that quivering tub of gully mud. Can't even fight his own fights.
Against you?
Well, any man can't handle a gun, got no business west of the Mississippi.
All right, mount up.
Yeah. Look, Paladin. Half day's ride from here is my cabin. My wife and my boy are there. I got a present to give the boy.
I see.
You let me get the cabin first, I'll go quiet with you to Placerville. No trouble. You got my word. I'm not begging, mister. I'm offering my word.
The sheriff will be waiting at the cabin.
I'm going to give my son his present.
You've never seen your son?
No. He's only been around 3 weeks.
Then you ought to see him before you go to Placerville. Let's go.
Country, though. I tell you, the Sierra's got every place beat.
Good country.
There's a narrow trail up ahead going up over that cliff. We'll save some time.
Okay, we'll take it.
Wish my stomach had quit barking at me.
Hungry?
Be chewing on this horse. He'd hold still long enough.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah, have some of this.
Jerky. Used to like jerky until I married up with Sarah, got used to woman cooking. It's pretty good. This here's a trail I mentioned.
All right, you lead the way.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yes, sir. A woman sure changes a man.
It's too bad she didn't change her ways with a gun. You might have had more time together.
Man has to be the way he is. I don't like somebody, I reach for a gun just natural the way you'd reach to scratch an itch.
Maybe.
Watch your step. This here's tricky ground.
Well, you can't go around killing everybody you don't like.
It does kind of sound like I got me some bad habits. Still, it don't seem right to hold a carnival and string me up. I got a son now. Can't you just see him going around saying my daddy got hung?
How a man lives is more important than how he dies.
But it's my finish they'll be remembering most. Up ahead around that bend where it gets steep. Narrow and steep. You hug the wall.
Okay.
Now, if my boy could say, my daddy stood up like a man in a gunfight. Got shot down like a man, working a gun. Now, that's something else again. Then I would...
Hey, Paladin, take hold of that horse!
Yeah, I'd cinch you loose, the saddle, slip it!
Paladin, you hurt?
Nah, I'm all right. I'll need help getting up. Drop me a rope.
Paladin, you're down there on that ledge, and I'm up here.
Come on, man. Get a rope down
here. You see how it is. You know what I got to do. You're taking me back to hang.
Hurry up, Holt. This ledge won't hold me very long.
I'm real sorry, Paladin.
I thought you never killed a man except with a gun. Holt!
Grab this rope, Paladin.
I got it.
All right, mister. Come on up.
I got it. Thanks.
No thanks called for.
Yeah.
You didn't turn me over to Jake Ludlow when you could have, so you saved my life, man. You wouldn't have been down there if it wasn't. You went off of your trail so I could see my son. The way I see it now, we're quits.
All right. Neither of us owes the other anything.
Fair enough. You keep your eyes open now on. That's my cabin there.
Sheriff and Abe probably inside.
Paladin, I got to get in there.
You will.
What you got in mind?
I'm going to wedge this. Ooh, now. Oh. Wedge this pebble between the shoe and the hoof of my horse.
What for?
Never mind. Now, you stay out of sight until Ludlow and his man ride out.
All right.
Come on, boy. Come on.
Finally got here, huh, Paladin?
Sheriff, your man Gage caught up to Manfred Holt back near where you had him cornered this morning.
He got him?
No, he didn't.
Oh. Gage did?
He was still able to talk when I left him back at the clearing. Wouldn't hurt to get him to a doctor.
Bad, huh?
Well, there's nothing I could do for him.
Abe?
No, I'm not going nowhere. Not alone. Not with Holt out there someplace.
All right, get our horses. We'll go together.
Okay.
What's the matter with your horse, Paladin?
He's gone lame. I can't ride this way.
You sure can't.
Looks like I'm stuck here.
Well, you better hide in the woods till we get back.
Now, here we are, Sheriff.
All right. If Holt gets here before we get back, use that gun.
All right.
Time was when the sedan chair was considered the height of luxury. When you think of all the places you go and all the things you now do by radio, a sedan chair doesn't seem like much of a luxury at all. Tuned to a radio network like the CBS Radio Network, you can, in a matter of moments, travel to foreign capitals to learn what's happening to individuals or whole nations at a time. Because a network like CBS Radio is made up of many stations, stations like the one you're listening to now, the smartest supper clubs from New York to San Francisco invite you to dance to the music of their big-name bands night after night. Because CBS Radio's vast network facilities extend in every direction, you can laugh with the funniest comedians in Hollywood or on Broadway. Then move on to a serious discussion of space-age problems, and all in the course of an evening. By all means, use that sedan chair if you have one. But if you want to go places fast, take CBS Radio along.
The little cabin sat quiet and alone in the lush green valley. There was only a dust cloud over in the west to show where Ludlow and Abe were tracking the other deputy. I turned and motioned Holt to come in.
Sure was some whopper you told Ludlow.
Look, we won't have much time before they find Gage. You better give your son his present.
Paladin, I guess you and me now reached a point where we stop counting what we owe each other.
Manfred?
Sarah. What's this I hear about you breeding boy children?
Oh, Manfred.
Oh, no, sir. Don't be carrying on so. You knew I'd be along.
I knew.
I brought friends, sir. Here's Mr. Paladin.
Mrs. Holt.
Won't you come in?
No, thank you. I'll stay out here. You two have a lot of talking to catch up on.
That's true. That's surely true. Come on now, Sarah. You show me what you've been up to. Sorry it was so long in there, Paladin. Takes a lot of talking for a woman to tell about bearing a child.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Good drinking water, ain't it?
That's a good pump you got here, too.
I got me a son, Paladin. Fine strapping son.
Did you give him his present?
I sure did. I give him my name. Manfred Holt, Jr.
I see you picked up a present for yourself.
Yeah, the gun. You know, it's funny, Paladin. A fella like me has just got to have one.
Yeah. Let's get moving. Sheriff will be back any minute.
I'm not going to Placerville with you.
Yes, you are, Holt.
Not for that crowd waiting there in Placerville. Not until I find Ned Alcorn, anyway.
He hired me to see that you don't kill him.
I never would feel right knowing he's walking the same earth I am. I'd see he had a gun.
Now, we've talked about that, Holt. He's not very good with a gun.
Too bad.
If you went on, there'd be other men. Some of them pretty helpless that you wouldn't like. You'd have to kill them.
A man just has to be what he is. I guess that holds for you, too.
That's right. And I was hoping it wouldn't turn out this way, Holt.
Ain't nothing you can do now to change it.
You won't ride back with me?
No.
Let's move away from the cabin.
She's been told not to come out till everyone's gone, no matter what. She won't.
All right. Here.
Don't try nothing fancy, Paladin. Wing and a shoulder of the like. A man like me, you either kill or he kills you.
I know.
Of course, I'm figuring to beat you. I'm awful good. That pump. When the next drop of water falls, we both fire. Can you see it?
Next drop. Yeah, I can see it. Building up, Holt.
Yeah.
It's coming. I'm sorry, Manfred.
Sorry? For saving me from that Placerville circus? Manfred Jr., he don't like for his pa to get me.
Manfred? Oh, Manfred.
He wouldn't let me avoid it.
He told me it would be like this. That you might do this for him.
For him?
It was bound to come. We've always known that. He shared his life only with men he respected. So it was with his death.
It was nearly dusk when I'd finished the grave and fixed a simple marker to go on it. An evening breeze was coming fresh from the high mountains. And in the half light, I could see Sarah, her son in her arms, standing by the cabin. And later, after I'd said goodbye and had ridden to the low hills that ringed the valley, I turned to look back again. Now there was no one in sight, but a trail of smoke came from the chimney, and I knew the woman was cooking the evening meal. And there was a wonderful peace in the meadowland.
Welcome home, Mr. Paladin.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
While you were away, the San Francisco papers carried the full story of your killing Manfred Holt and your reward.
$2,000.
Oh, and yes, Mr. Alcorn left this envelope for you. Here you are.
My fee. Yes, that's what I came back for. I'll be leaving in the morning, Mr. Davis.
Leaving so soon? Something important?
Very important. I have two envelopes I want to deliver to a young widow and her son in Grass Valley.
Gun Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Frank Cady, Ralph Moody, Joseph Kearns, Gene Lansworth, and Sam Edwards. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel on Tuned to Yesterday from the 14th of December, 1958 on CBS. One of the few shows to originate on television then move to radio with a different leading actor. The Gene Roddenberry script we just heard first debuted on television in September of 1957. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for Fort Laramie with a broadcast called Loving Cup, a CBS episode first heard on June 24th, 1956.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How long would you say you've known him, Patchen?
I had that proud honor, I guess. 8-10 years now. Of course, I ain't had the privilege of serving with him since the war.
I still don't see why you just don't go right up to him and make yourself known.
Well, I wouldn't intrude on the captain that way, Drury. He's a busy man, tracking engines, planning battles. Besides, just because I recollect him so well don't mean he'd remember me.
But he's a kindly man.
Oh, the time will come, the just right time. I'll acknowledge myself to Captain Lee Quince.
I'll bet you he'll be proud knowing you asked special to serve under him again.
Maybe surprised, even. Of course, I've only been with the company a week now, but it seems to me the men hold him right high in their thoughts.
I ain't been here long myself, but there's not a man I know wouldn't lay down his life for Captain Quince, if need be.
Well, now, that's nice. I declare that's real nice. Captain ever talked much about the war, any of his experiences?
Well, like I say, I ain't been here long myself. But the men say he's not much for talk about anything.
Never was. Even when he was younger, when most men talk free, he was more for action than words.
Yeah. It's funny, ain't it? How you can sense such so much good feeling in a man without him talking much.
That's a funny thing, all right.
I like to draw duty with the captain. I sure do. I always have the feeling that no matter what, he's been thinking ahead, planning for us. I feel safe riding with the captain.
Of course, it's hard to tell what a man's thinking if you don't make his thoughts known.
It don't matter to me much what he's thinking, so long as he's acting good.
That's the big thing, how a man acts. Oh, this sure is different country out here. Different kind of fighting country, too.
How you mean?
We fought closer in the war. Like there'd be a stream here, you see?
Yeah.
Say it was a kind of clearing, you know. And on one side, the ribs would be cowering in the trees. We'd be standing firm on the other side. Now, sooner or later, somebody's got to make a move for that water. For horses and for themselves. I tell you, you get thirsty. You get so you care more about water than living. Anybody's living.
Well, mostly, we're lucky out here. Seems like there's more creeks and
streams. A man's got a right to a drink when he's dry. More than dry, your insides get to feeling like sand, dust. Like they was gonna crumble.
Patchen? What's the matter with you, Patchen?
You say something, Drury?
Ask if something was wrong.
Wrong, boy? No, nothing's wrong. I just get a thirst sometime.
You talked yourself dry. It ain't hot. We got plenty of water. There's a stream not 50 yards from you.
I know.
Well, you were saying about the fighting being different in the war.
Yeah, like I said, we fought closer. Man to man sometimes. A man to dismount, fix his saber to his carbine, and such a bloody slash in a way you never saw.
I ain't seen nothing like that in the West.
Out here, it seems like you do more chasing than anything else. We've been tracking engines, how long, 2 days now? I ain't drawing my sights on one. Have you, Drury?
That ain't saying they ain't here. Somewheres. Captain Quince must think they're around.
Well, you know I'm not saying that. Why, there ain't a man among you come less near to criticizing the captain's judgment. Are you forgetting, boy? I know better than any of you what a great man he is.
Looks like the campsite ahead, Mr. Seiferts. Must have made camp here last night.
Yes, sir. We've been just about a day behind them all the way, haven't we, Captain?
And it looks like we're going to stay that way. I'll say one thing for them. They pick good campsites.
Captain, it's the end of the fourth day. Didn't Major Daggett say if we could catch him in 4 days, fine? If not, report back to Fort Laramie?
Yeah, those are the orders, Mr. Syberts.
Seems like a waste somehow. All this riding only to turn back.
One thing, we don't lose many men this way.
That's true, Captain.
They won't be the first who slipped off the reservation, got away with it. Sergeant!
Joe!
We'll make camp ahead at Bitter Creek.
Yes, sir. I guess we lost him, sir.
The Sioux? We never had him to lose, Sergeant.
No, sir.
I declare, Captain. I'm real sorry about that.
I don't know how I'm done. You better get on with your job, Trooper.
Patchen's the name. That's if you don't remember.
I remember.
I kept hoping I'd bump into you, Captain, sir. Sure enough, I did.
You been with B Company long?
Just a week. I didn't want to bother you, seeing you was heading up this big engine chasing operation. I didn't see any engines myself, but the men keep telling me they must be somewhere around. Or Captain Clint wouldn't be out chasing them.
We're moving back to Fort Laramie starting tomorrow. When we get there, I'll see you get a transfer to another company.
Now, I'm sorry to hear you say that, Captain. I've been looking forward to this reunion longer than I can tell. Tell the truth, I thought you'd hold a higher rank by now, seeing men like Custer and McKenzie are generals. And you're their equal, I could swear to that. I've been telling them...
You got a job to do, Trooper. Better get on with it.
Is that an order, Captain, sir?
That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain.
Well?
I thought maybe you'd want to know. It didn't just happen my being in your company. I asked for this duty special. On account of us being such old friends.
I guess you remembered him all right, Captain.
When was that, Drury?
Patchen, sir. He was worried for fear you might not remember who he was.
That so?
I told him. I knew you'd recollect. You're just not the kind of man to forget a friend.
He's been talking to you a lot, Drury?
I'll put it this way, sir. I know you a lot better since meeting up with Patchen.
I wonder.
Well, I feel I do. The rest of the men, they feel like I do. We wasn't surprised to hear it exactly, but we sure didn't know you mapped campaigns for General Sheridan. General Cook, too. And all them acts of bravery when you led the
Trooper.
Charge. Yes, sir?
You got duty with the mess sergeant, right?
That's right, sir.
Move out.
Yes, sir.
Captain, sir?
What is it, Gorse?
The camp's most bedded down, Captain. The pickets are out.
Who's on picket duty?
It's our last night out, sir. Corporal Jenkins used the rest of the patrol.
Who are they, Gorse?
Well, sir, he put Vickers and Culp up by the bend. Over the west, he's got Stevens and Holt. Then over south, Beale and Patchen.
I told Corporal Jenkins no picket duty for Patchen, and I meant it.
Captain...
No picket duty for Patchen. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Captain?
Mind if I say something, sir?
I mind if anybody says something, Mr. Seibertz.
I just want to ask you why.
I wouldn't bother asking, Mr. Seibertz.
It's about the men, Captain. I have the right to speak out about the men.
You've got the right.
They're tired, sir. They've ridden 4 days out, 3 days back. We've been moving like someone was chasing us. Only no one is.
Any other observations, Mr. Seibertz?
Yes, sir. Everyone stood his turn at picket duty. Everyone but Patchen.
You're getting awful close to asking why again, Mr. Seibertz.
I'm sure you have a reason, Captain. I hope it's a good one, because the men don't understand. I think we got a morale problem.
We won't have it long. We'll be back at the fort tomorrow.
Captain, if you'd like
to... Good night, Mr. Seibertz. That all you have to say, Captain?
Well, it's clear. I'm asking for Patchen's transfer.
But you won't say why.
If you're talking about those forms you fill out, Major, put down for the good of company morale.
I'm interested in company morale. I've watched. I've listened to Lieutenant Seibertz. I've talked to Sergeant Gorse. Now I'm going to ask you, Captain.
It's personal.
We haven't got room for personal quarrels, Lee. Oh, this is so little like you, I don't even believe it. Nobody who knows you believes it. You don't let these things happen.
We're going to talk about that transfer?
No, we're going to talk about morale. Well, suppose I transfer this man. What good would that do? You've got a company out there. They're going to be here whether Patchen's transferred or not. They've watched this man get to you. As nearly as I can tell, he's been killing you with kindness.
That's what he's trying to do.
Why? Why?
He hates my guts. Goes way back.
No picket duty for Patchen. Why?
I like my camp safe when I'm in hostile territory, Major.
It'll be a lot of trouble to get his army record clear back to the war. But I'll go to that trouble, Lee, if you don't tell me.
I saved his life once. He's never forgiven me.
That's an odd thing to say.
It's the truth. I saved a lousy, gutless life. He knows it is. He lives with it.
He served under you?
I served under him.
Patchen was an officer?
Captain Joseph Patchen, New York Cavalry. It was before I knew you, Major. Remember the little wars? Us on one side of a stream, them on the other.
And both of you needing the water in between? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, 5 days and nights we sat there looking across at them, waiting. Just waiting. We had a little water. We could have held out. The men were doing fine.
He ordered a charge?
He didn't order anything. We just split wide open crazy. Took off after that stream before anyone knew what hit. The men thought it was a charge, him being in command. We lost half a company.
You hate his guts too, don't you?
Every good man's got fear in him. I don't mind honest fear. I hate a coward, Major.
You were commissioned on the field, Lee. Was it there?
Yeah. He can't forget that either.
Surely he was relieved of his command.
Major Daggett, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Corporal of the Guard reports 2 deserters, sir. It's Patchen and Drury.
Pick your men, Sergeant. Fan out around the house. Check the barn.
Yes, sir. Holt, Vickers, cover the barn. You, Beal, Cup, the corral. Stevens and Fredericks. You, Stewart, you come with me.
Afternoon to you, mister.
They trample that young wheat the army will owe me.
We didn't come here to trample your crop.
We're looking for deserters.
New kind of grain, supposed to be special for the high plains. I put a lot of money in that grain. I want it to come up.
Two men, one just turned 20, the other older, my age or better.
I thought the army was for fighting Indians. Give that up, didn't they?
You need men to fight Indians, mister.
Don't look at me. I got enough trouble trying to prove up land like this. Didn't intend to ride off. I meant to stay with horses. Thought I could raise them. Good enough grazing land. Well, the Indians run the horses off. I'd get them grown strong on the grass. About that time, here they'd come. Indians.
You don't keep horses now?
A couple. They're not extra.
I'm going to have to look in your house, mister.
Well, I suppose you are. How many did you say you was looking for?
Two.
Brought quite a few soldiers along looking for two men. There's some kind of penalty for hiding soldiers who take a notion to run?
The army don't take kindly to it, mister.
Couldn't shoot a body, though, could you?
You've seen them?
You don't see many folks out this way. You and your soldiers are more than I've seen in months.
How long since you've been in Laramie Village?
Oh, a long time. I stay pretty close here. I knew you wouldn't find him here. Thought you'd want to see for yourself, though.
Captain, found this in the shed by the barn.
You prefer a cavalry saddle, mister?
I'm gonna have to find that out. Ain't used to it yet.
Did it help if we knew which way they headed when they left?
To tell you the truth, it's hard for me to think they was here at all.
Ah, let's go, Gorse.
Captain. His boots.
Sure, he's wearing cavalry boots, owns a cavalry saddle. But he hasn't seen anyone.
You trample that young wheat, I'll send the army a bill.
Going up to the house at all, Captain? Talk to him?
Yeah, talking to him didn't do any good.
Kind of a sniveling one. Kept wanting to know why the captain himself didn't come to him, ask the questions. He took it real personal, like.
The captain himself's about through talking. I come up against any more crawly settlers, Gorse, I'm apt to start breaking a few necks.
I'm feeling a little mean myself. Three plates of warm grub sitting on his table. Him all alone in the house. He never heard of two deserters.
We'll find him.
The men want to, awful bad. For you, Captain. That'd be some comfort.
That'd be some comfort, Gorse.
I sure feel bad about Drury. He was going to make a good trooper.
Yeah, I know. I thought sure Patchen would be out here near the stream. He gets an awful thirst sometimes. Let's check that barn again.
Yes, sir. There's only about 2 hours of daylight left. I hate to give them a night start in this country.
We're not going to.
Oh, Captain.
You, are the captain. Speak your mind, mister. We're busy. I'd, like to talk to you alone.
I'll check the barn, sir.
All right, talk.
I've been sitting up in the house trying to remember. I ain't sure, but seems to me I read somewheres once that there was a reward for turning in deserters. Now, did I just dream that?
There's a $20 reward, mister.
Only $20?
$20.
Well, ain't very much, is it?
I don't suppose you're prepared to go any higher.
I'm not prepared to go that high, mister. But the Army figures it's worth $20.
$20 a piece?
That's it.
Eight men looking for two men. And the total price on their heads is $40. Ain't no bargain, Captain.
It sure isn't. Total pay for the eight men looking is $4 a day. 50 cents apiece.
Is that all?
And the price isn't just for their heads, mister. We'd have to insist on the rest of them, too.
In here, Captain.
He was in the loft. He called down to me, then he come down himself.
Patching up there too, boy?
No, sir. No, sir, he run. I don't know how far. I don't know how long ago. Captain, I don't know nothing.
You stay with him, Gorse. I'm going to find Patching.
Yes, sir.
No, Captain, don't you leave you. You hear me out, will you, please?
Sergeant Gorse will hear you out.
Patching's got everything, Captain. He's got himself every kind of gun you ever saw. His and mine. All we could buy is steel. He's going to be waiting for you, Captain.
I hope he is.
You got to know my shame. It don't seem now it could have happened to me. It worked on me so slow, I didn't even know it was happening. But I know now. I feel all the ugly shame of it.
Talking's not much good now, Drury.
I ain't talking to save myself, Captain. I know that ain't right. I know it can't be. I'm talking to understand. And for you to know I'm crawling with the shame of it.
The crawling's uglier than the shame, boy. I'm alone, Patchen.
That'd be your way, wouldn't it? Big, brave, alone. You must be the bravest man there is, Quince.
Come on down, Patchen.
I ain't coming down. I waited too long for this. I'm staying right here, and you're staying right there.
You got plenty of water?
Understand, I ain't aiming for you, Quince. I'm just trying out my arsenal. That was my pistol.
You're never going to last without water, Patchen.
I've got two canteens, mine and Drury's.
You could hit me if you tried good. You got a reason for not killing me, Patchen?
That last was my rifle. I got me a buffalo gun off the saddle, blow you clean away. You wouldn't even leave no spark, Quince.
Come on down.
We're gonna do this slow, Captain. Just you and me. Maybe my shots will get a little closer to you from time to time. We'll keep it slow a while. I want you to die a long time, Quince. 5 days and 5 nights of dying. Remember, Quince?
I remember. You want me to die, all right. Long time of dying. But you aren't the man to kill me, Patchen.
You ain't coming after me. You ain't that brave, Quince.
Don't take a brave man to come after you, Patchen. Just take the man.
I hated you a long time. If I have to do, I could hate you dead.
You hate yourself, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good killing me. You'd still have yourself.
You're gonna kill me? That what you coming to do?
Kill me. Please. Please don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good. Killing a coward. Get up.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Paul Duboff, James Nusser, and Herb Vigran. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Seiberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 24th, 1956 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.